88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
Moncrief on News Talk.
This won't do.
We've no guns, no ammo. What's an armed robbery if you're not even armed?
I think that's just called a robbery, Jimmy.
That's present.
Kevin, have you not got a gun there?
No.
What do you mean, no? We can see your gun sticking on the table now.
Kevin, son, tell me this. Is that a spud gun?
It's not the size of the gun that matters, you know. It's how you use it.
Not my experience.
Size of the gun's not the issue, kid. The issue is, does a gun shoot bullets or does a gun shoot wee bits of potato?
Where'd you get that holster?
Oh, it's nice, right? Very double O.
Very double O. We'll pick up guns on the way.
What, you're not coming, Dollars?
I wish.
Dollars is working for Jerry now.
Oh, aye.
Top secret stuff.
All right, that's Say Nothing. You can stream all episodes now on Disney Plus. James Dempsey joins us once again. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon.
So I suppose it's people maybe will have different reactions to this depending on what island they live in, I suppose.
Yeah, fair. And I mean, even I think in this island, you are supposed to have different reactions to it, right? So this is based on a book of the same name that was published in 2018 by Patrick Redden Keefe, who's a New Yorker writer. And it is a collection of stories from the Troubles told to an oral history archive out of Boston University. And it opens with a very infamous case. It opens with the abduction of Jean McConville from her flat in West Belfast, while 9 of her 10 children, I think, are in the house, basically. Mm. And her ultimate disappearing, quote unquote, by the IRA. And follows then for 9 episodes, that tale, but more so the tale of Dolores Price. Now, me, a child of like the peace-loving 90s, right? When everything was ceasefire and wonderful. Like, Dolores Price is not someone I had ever even really heard of.
Yeah.
Right? So from that aspect, it is a very interesting look at the Troubles, because this is following someone I had never even encountered in my historical reading of any of this. And it has a twofold problem here. The show, that I think it manages to navigate quite well, right?
Yeah.
The show is trying to both indicate why one would join a terrorist organization for freedom, to the kind of allure and excitement in being part of a quote-unquote revolutionary force, and 3, the ultimate effect that that will have in the rest of your life if you engage in violence towards an end. And if there are victims of your violence, do you take those with you as you go on?
Yeah.
Now, I haven't read the book. This is like, it's been one that's been on my bookshelf for about 4 years.
Yeah.
And I haven't read, right? But my understanding is the book is quite a tome. And if you are uninitiated to the Troubles, it's like 50% footnotes almost.
Yeah.
Contextualizing absolutely every possible thing. And here, as poor as my knowledge of the Troubles is, at least I have a concept of what the North is, the six counties, Bloody Sunday, etc., right? All those kind of earmark events. But basically, if you are unknown to this, like I think, I'm thinking of audiences in the US, even audiences in the UK, shall we say, I think you will be left somewhat confused by some of the stuff that's going on here.
Because it's bouncing back and forth in time to a certain extent.
Constantly,
isn't it?
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I also really want to credit all of the performers in it. I think, like, every performance in this is absolutely brilliant. Lola Pettigrew goes by they, them. Lola Pettigrew, they go by they, them.
Yeah.
They play Dolores Price as the younger Dolores. Mm. And Maxine Peake, the very well-known British actress, plays older Dolores. And again, we are navigating through those. And like, there's no denying, they make the kind of 70s part of it look really cool, right?
Okay.
Like, as in, it is, I'm here in my iron jumper today.
Right? Like, you're channeling your inner Jerry Adams
right? Although I will go to say there is a postscript at the end of every single episode saying Jerry Adams absolutely denies any involvement in the IRA or any violence, and I don't want to defame him on News Talk airwaves. all in, I think it balances everything quite well. And I found it very, very moving. I mean, it moves, you know, there's 9 episodes in total. And, you know, by the end of the season, when we're getting to meet Jean McConville's children as adults, while they are still left with the lingering uncertainty of whatever happened to her. I mean, they kind of know she's dead, but hope springs eternal and maybe and all these kinds of things.
Or closure and all that stuff.
They completely and utterly lack closure. And the episode where her body is ultimately exhumed and found, I found incredibly moving. I mean, I shed a tear, which is a rare occurrence for me. All in, I thought it was complicated and serious and earnest and funny and charming and kind of sexy in its own way. And I really, really liked it.
Yeah. Now, I suppose one thing, and certainly in Britain, this is a slight criticism of it, that there's, as you said, there's a kind of a, this is kind of cool. And for the likes of Dolores Price, it's almost depicted as like a feminist victory that they get in.
She's girl bossing her way through town.
Yeah. Right? You know, through the IRA. Does it give that equal stress as some people might want, or maybe all people might want, to the effects of the work and, you know, the victims of the violence?
I think it does in a narrow way.
Right? Yeah.
And by that I mean it focuses very much on the McConville children. They are kind of the emotional aftermath of that.
Yeah.
Equally, it also plays this very deft game of, as you grow older, after serving your time in prison, after going under a hunger strike and being force-fed in a very brutal, you know, way, what is it like to still believe in the cause and not regret what you've done, but feel sold out by your compatriots in whatever force you were in, maybe, right? Mm. And all in, that's a very kind of complicated thing to get across in, you know, a number of episodes. And it doesn't come towards the end of the season. So I would say if you started and you're a bit like, this is girl boss terrorism, it's girl loss terrorism by the end of it. All in, also, like, the other thing I would say about it is that it's a complicated show, and one area where I felt it was quite weak is in its depiction of British people. I mean, all of them are sort of like mustache twirling baddies. Tories to the highest degree, if you have me, right? And I just felt like, look, I was a Northern Irish at the time, or I have, nor have ever been, but like, as in, I appreciate that if you are viewing this from a Irish Republican army soldier viewpoint, you probably maybe did consider all British people to be enemies of your state. But here, it's trying to be a more nuanced drama. So I think we could manage maybe the odd British person being nice.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Right, our next show is the second series of Bad Sisters. New episodes every Wednesday on Apple TV Plus. Here's a clip.
He's talking to me. Where's Grace?
She's at home. She's in a state.
Did she know about the body in the pond?
Of course not. Grace is the best person any of us will ever know. And John Paul was a monster. He was a turd of a man. What happened to him, what Grace had to do, the world's better off without her. Even the Pope would say that. But if Grace goes to jail, if you go to jail, but who would that help?
Don't throw your life away for him.
But I've done a terrible thing.
Roger, we all did. Roger, we are all involved in this. We all tried to kill that. We're involved because we knew.
Now, I suppose the gap between the first and the second one, James, is that so many of these actors have had other roles elsewhere, and it was probably difficult to get them all together.
Very much so. And also, the other thing is Bad Sisters was actually based on a Belgian TV show, originally called Clan, that I think was on, like, whatever that Channel 4 thing, Oscar Presents or something. Walter Presents.
Right. Well,
I think it was on that at one point. And there was no second season follow-up to that at all, right? Mm. So this is absolutely new territory for Sharon Horgan and the other creators of the show, including Dave Finkel and Brett Baer, both of whom, their biggest credits are 30 Rock and New Girl, which kind of are odd companions for this sort of show. Mm. Sharon Horgan's less so, also because she's Irish, so she has an ear for the kind of dialogue work getting here, but all in, it's a bit of a mismatch. Now, the first season, I think, was a bit of a lightning in a bottle moment, right? It was really funny and modern and fresh and interesting, and it was all centered around these sisters plotting to kill their brother-in-law, who we know in the first episode has died, and the whole whodunit is not so much a whodunit, but how done it, and when done it, and why done it, etc. And all of that came to a very, very satisfying and complete ending at the end of the first season. And 2 years later, we're back for season two. Now, do we need to be back for season two is really the ultimate question.
Yeah.
And the problem is the show needs to make a very strong case right out of the bat for why we are. And I'm going to say it makes an okay case. So, and it actually involves a suitcase. Right. So all in, a body is discovered in a pond, which I won't go into details of, except to say that it's nobody that I've mentioned so far in this appraisal. And in doing so, that reignites interest in the original case from season one. And what season one actually had very much going for it, not just the chemistry of the cast, which was excellent and funny and really interesting, and God, I'd probably watch Sharon Horgan in anything, but it had a really good villain. Right, so yeah. Claesbang, I think he's Belgian. I actually don't know where he's from, but anyway, no, he's Danish maybe. But anyway, wherever he's from, he learned his craft well because he was just an absolute a no gooden, shall we say, right? He was like an English person in Say Nothing, right? Yeah. He basically is just, he was cruel and mean, and you could see how he would get away with it, how he would work his power. And therefore, it is very easy to root for the sisters as they ultimately try to off him in each and every episode.
Mm.
Here, they have to introduce a new villain. And in doing so, they bring in Fiona Shaw. Now, Fiona Shaw is going through a great late in
career. Oh my God, she's in everything.
She's in everything.
Yeah.
And she's also sort of timeless looking. Like
She could
just be 50 forever.
Yeah.
Right? And like, she is playing the sister of Michael Smiley's Roger, who had a big role in season one. She's Angelica. And like, for me, the problem with her is they kind of over-egged the pudding, right? She's like, a blind twitcher. Observant neighbor, but also has like barbed wire wrapped around her leg and is a really devout Christian. And I kind of thought we over-egged the pudding personally for me, right? She could just be a bit obnoxious rather than all of these things. Also, then there's a mystery that is involving a husband of one of the sisters I won't go into. And then I will say what I did admire is it at least takes some narrative risks in the whole Garvey family. But all in, it's not as fun. It didn't feel as fun
as
the first time round. The first time round had to do this very delicate balance of being dramatic, shocking, but funny.
The whole
point was it was a dark comedy. You were rooting for the sisters.
Mm.
And it seems like the comedy bit has been kind of forgotten. And now we're just in a darker show. The other thing is, I always think this is a really unbelievable depiction of Ireland because they live in the most beautiful houses.
Yes.
I'm expecting them to commit a murder in the house in the bit in House of the Year where they put the red dot of your favourite place in the house. Oh, it's right up the corpse. Right.
Well, that's going to be in the next series. You just find bodies strewn around the place.
Maybe.
But the original series that this is based on, did that have a second?
No, it didn't. So this is uncharted territory and it needs to find a destination sooner.
Yeah, okay. Right, our third show is Craw, Mondays at 9:30 p.m. on TG Cahar. You can watch the whole series now on the TG Cahar player. Here's a clip.
Jesus Christ. Could you talk to you, Yanni?
Mission Mark. They said you had to come for any others. For pure and you, because the victim's crime bill, Robbie, because the shot, Jake.
Honol, no Jane Mafost or Bust, Nis Chakra. So, she was unlucky. Sabine died of a single stab wound. Pierced her coronary artery.
She was wrapped in a cloth. Any idea what it was? A blanket or a towel? Or...
Okay, James, so this is this kind of a whodunit as well?
Very much so, yeah. It's rare that I would have three Irish things in 1 week, but this is the state we find ourselves in. This is a very well-made, very well-produced, very Irish mystery drama on TG Cahar. So it's from a creator named Richie Roy and Dhiren Ní Hurragán, who both were writers and one performer, I think, on Fair City. And they it's a co-production between the Irish language branch of the BBC and TG Cahar. And it's based in a fictional town in Donegal where basically everybody's up to no good. And we meet our hero, Donal O'Halley, playing Officer Garda Conall O'Sullivan, whose mother disappeared, his glamorous German mother disappeared 15 years ago. And that led to his hotelier father's sort of life imploding and bringing unemployment to the town, etc. So there's a lot of skin in the game in terms of how this disappearance has evolved in the town. And her body is discovered in the bog. And he is banned from investigating his own mother's murder because he's the local Garda.
But he's
got a family involvement. And he sort of has to instead turn to his underling, Alex Murphy, who you'd know from... what you'd know for, sorry, the young offender is Alex Murphy,
who right,
plays,
yeah,
his plays his kind of underling, and then this true crime journalist called Kira Kate, who is also investigating. So he has to kind of use them as ciphers through which to do his investigating. Now, all in, this is really a T.G. Carr show, and I mean that in every respect. By that I mean, it's interesting, it's well shot, it's got really funny Irishisms in it as well.
Yeah. Right?
So, like, this is a drama about a murder, a murdered woman, classic refrigerated woman, let's start a plot on that. But, like, in the first episode, there's also this bizarre dance scene involving a jukebox between Alex Murphy and Hannah Brady, and a courtship between them that serves as this comedic, you know, seam throughout the whole thing, which is just very silly, but I found very charming despite that. So if you're looking for, like, pure Nordic noir, you're not going to get it here. But if you're looking for, like, well, not Nordy, obviously, but north of Ireland, shall we say, right? Noir, there is something to be had here. And the real winner, absolutely, is County Donegal, because the drones that they use to film every aspect of the landscape just make it look like the place to commit a murder.
Yeah. Okay, I think we can come up with a better compliment for Donegal than that. Those three shows are Say Nothing. You can stream all episodes now on Disney Plus. Bad Sisters, new episodes every Wednesday on Apple TV Plus, and Craw 9:30 on T.G. Cahir. And you can watch the whole series on the T.G. Cahir player. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
"88% of the workweek is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences, whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise Ready AI.